I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's a dead giveaway when I start singing along. Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing. It's our second episode of our grand return to podcasting.
And already our last episode of the year.
Yeah, sorry about that. So we're not awesome at timing. That's a thing.
Actually, it might not be our last episode of the year. We have plans.
We have
schemes to maybe give you something else.
Yeah.
We'll see if those schemes turn into achievements.
We'll like see how long we go basically today. Mm-hmm. I think is what's really with this episode. To see whether we run out of time and have to go back to Christmas land, because that's a thing.
Hey, we have new listeners. You may be listeners to the old show, but you're new since the last time. So welcome. Thank you for joining us in our ever expanding quest to look at things that entertain us and talk to you about them.
Yes. I mean, I am delighted that everybody, that so many of you seem to want to do what we're doing, which is just like take a break from everything real and just, I don't know, pontificate about the world around us. It's going to be the best part of my week. I can already tell
because
it's just a mental break. I mean, granted, I'm not going to pretend that there won't be times when we sink into various rages or we talk about the real world. Like that could happen because nothing is off the table on our show about, I know. And in fact, I really debated my thing today and I'm going with it because I'm just so annoyed.
Are you so fired irritated. Up?
I'm fired up.
All right.
I'm fired up, people. I'm heated.
You've been waiting
for this,
folks.
But we're delighted to be back. And if this is literally your first episode, you should know that the deal with It's a Thing is that it is a show about tangents. We are observing the world around us, and we're kind of mix and matching a little bit of trend spotting here and there with things that we're just into.
Yeah. We're tangential to the culture.
Yes. Because we'd be hard-pressed to say that we're in the culture, whatever that is.
I don't know. Maybe, so,
I don't know. Depends, I guess.
Talk to a lady with a dog today. Does that count? Is that in the culture?
Show about tangents. Yeah, why not? Dogs are a thing.
Yeah, totally. They're a huge thing.
All right, let's get to it. That's enough. That's enough explaining. In fact, that's more explaining than the show really even warrants.
That's the show, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Tom, what's your thing? What's going on?
My thing is being engaged in right now by my wife in the other room. I really think this might even be a trend. I may have actually spotted a trend. I don't always claim that my things are really on point or ahead of time, but this one might be Asian dramas.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
In Korea, they're often called Hallyu, but they are dramas that in Asia, you're not going to think it's a thing because you're like, we just call it television. But Korean dramas, and I think the one that's starting to trend internationally are Chinese dramas, are getting picked up worldwide. Here in the United States, you can pick them up on an app called Viki, which is operated by Rakuten. They also used to be on an add-on for Amazon called Drama Fever, but Warner Media got rid of that to great consternation of many people. And Netflix has been picking up more and more of these and putting them on their service. So one of the biggest Chinese dramas is called Eternal Love. That was on Viki, but it recently moved to Netflix. And there's a subsection of these called Wuxia in the Chinese area, which are like fantasy period pieces with dragons and kings and love stories all wound together. And ever since Eileen started watching one on Netflix, she's just kind of been sucked into the whole world of Korean and Chinese and some Japanese drama as well. And we've just been eating them up.
This. Okay. I was looking this up as you were talking. and came across dramapanda.com, which is appears to be a website specifically for what they call C-drama recommendations. Wow.
And
This is a thing.
Eileen's on my drama list, which is a way to track your Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and other Asian dramas so that you don't lose track because they shift around so much.
I feel like, especially looking at the pictures for example, The Rise of the Phoenixes, which has like a teary lady and a guy in like a shogun outfit looking soulfully past her, that this looks like the pretty awesome evolution of like the telenovela.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe like, not an evolution.
Like
exactly,
a little bit the telenovela meets Game of Thrones and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
This looks pretty awesome, actually.
Because Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was wuxia, what is called wuxia. It was that fantasy martial arts, you know, where you fly through the air and do crazy stunts and stuff. And almost all of the ones we've watched have these. From the wuxia from China have them. But there are also like dramas that aren't that. There's one called, I'm going to get the names wrong. Accidentally in Love is a Chinese one. My Love from Another Star is one in Korea. Those are just present day dramas and they don't have martial arts in them at all. Accidentally in Love is like a high school, college love story kind of thing. My Love from Another Star is actually one that I like to watch because it's about a 900-year-old alien who is finally about to be able to leave. But he runs into a reincarnation of a girl he helped when he first arrived on Earth.
What? That sounds amazing.
I know.
Because I don't think that I'm necessarily in for Rui's royal love in the palace, but I'd be down for that. And there's one called Age of Legends that I just found that looks super fun. It's like an action and crime one. My brother actually used to be super into a Korean crime drama, and I can't remember what it was called, but he was obsessed. And he would basically just live recap it over text whenever he was watching it. Yeah. I was like, whatever the show is, it looks great. Huh?
So one of the first ones I got, if I can throw out some recommendations,
please, maybe
over the holidays, you're looking for a 68 episode wuxia to fall into
as you do.
I got sucked in by Legend of Fuyao, which some people are like, yeah, it's not as good as Eternal Love. Like the real, you know, people who really connoisseur. That's the word I'm looking for.
Connoisseur.
The real connoisseurs, you know, debate. But it's got one of the biggest stars, Yang Mi, in it. And it's about a woman who discovers that she has a secret and she has to find out what that secret is. And she accidentally runs into Prince Wuji, who is lying about who he is. And she follows him through the seven kingdoms or the eight kingdoms. Five regions. The five regions. And she kicks ass because she's all martial arts. And she's got all these hidden powers. That was super fun. And of course, everyone's like, well, that wasn't as good as Yang Mi's other one, Eternal Love, which is on Netflix, which is all about, the gods and goddesses in heaven living for hundreds of thousands of years and having these like battles and relationships over time. And that's got reincarnations and ghosts and dragons and phoenixes and all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh my God, I'm so into this. This sounds amazing.
I mean, the production values are good. It's not going to be Game of Thrones level VFX. Your visual effects are the ones we're going to be like, that looks a little like Jason and the Argonauts. But otherwise, the production levels are good. The storytelling can fall into some predictable patterns sometimes, but they don't stay in any one place. They move. And so it's really fun with lots of twists and turns. And it's different. It's like a different kind of story that you're not going to say, well, I saw this 15 times on FX already.
Right. Okay. But so tell me again how we watch them. Cause I'm in.
Netflix has a ton. Eternal Love is on Netflix.
Okay.
And if you just look for Eternal Love, it'll also say, if you like that, you'll also like these thousand other things that we've acquired.
Oh, right. Of course. That's all you have to do is just pick the one thing.
And then there's Viki, which is a free app from a Japanese company called Rakuten, which allows you to watch free with ads. Although on the Apple TV, we never get the ads for some reason. So there's a hint. And you can pay a little bit of a subscription fee if you want to upgrade and you get a wider selection. But there's lots of good stuff even on the free tier.
All right. I'm in. Thank you. That's an excellent thing. And I bet that's a thing. That feels like it. I feel like that's like a,
I think K-drama is already a thing. And the C-drama is definitely, if not already a thing, about to become a thing.
Nice. Well done. Okay. Well, my thing that I think is, that is a thing, is already a thing. But I'm just sort of realizing it. And so I'm curious about whether it's a thing for adults or just like people my son's age. But there is this new, there's this phenomenon, and it shouldn't be surprising considering how kids consume all entertainment, right? Like clearly they're not going to go for C-drama because it sounds too long for them. 47 minutes, 68 episodes. Everything they do is like in goldfish, you know, size chunks. But there's a sort of entire category of music now that kids are into that is just meme music, like songs that are themselves a meme, like the Hey Now, You're a Rock Star song, which became a meme because of Shrek. Like there's this sort of this weird, ironic obsession with the Shrek movie that turned into an obsession with that rock star song and that they then talk about all the time and sing. And then there are compilations of songs that are just meme music. And so my son will cycle through these little teeny short chunks. There it is. Meme music. Some kid right now is like, oh my God, that's like a Fortnite song.
So I don't know Bazzy Mine, number 9 on the best memes compilation of 2018.
But... yep. Drive you. Wow. Like if you play enough of this, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I've heard 36 seconds of all these songs. Maybe not even 36 seconds, usually more like 18 seconds.
So and it's they're hysterical. Like memetic meme hits.
They're memetic meme hits. Yes, exactly. And they are brief. But so that is a whole thing. Are you playing more? I'm just listening. Let's see if I know these.
It's going to be too distracting. I should take it out.
No, it's just like whether I feel cool enough. But so, oh my God, it's terrible. They include things like that All-Star song. They include things like, you know, there's some rap here and there. Like Drake's In My Feelings was a meme song for a while because there was the Instagram star Shiggy who made a dance out of it. So there was like the Shiggy challenge. And then that turned that song into a meme. I have no idea how it happens. And why, like the Russian national anthem is a meme song right now.
Really?
So my kid will play like a little bit of like hipster rap song and then the Russian national anthem, but like only 18 to 22 seconds of it.
So if I had to figure out how this goes, first of all, no one really knows how a meme happens.
Right.
So the music that goes into it can be absolutely random, right? Like the dance move in the video that becomes the meme just happens to have Hey Now You're an All-Star, right? That wasn't planned to be a meme. So the music is almost accidental. That's why you get such a wide variety. But it becoming a thing to just listen to meme songs reminds me of the phenomenon where if a song's used in a commercial, suddenly it's on your mind all the time and you want to listen to it more, and it may not even do anything for the product in the commercial, but you just hear it all the time. I've definitely added songs to my playlist because some commercial kept playing it and I was like, oh, that's actually a pretty good song.
I feel like it's a similar thing. I think it's a similar thing, and they just attach, and there's no, exactly, and it might have showed up somewhere and then they all heard it, or it might be a video game. I can tell you that Africa by Toto is a huge meme song this year. So what I think is exactly right. Like no idea.
Or is that just a counter example where the song itself just was the meme suddenly?
I don't know. I think, well, so that's what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. I'm thinking that for some reason, these are freestanding at some of them. And like, I don't know why, but I find it fascinating. And then, so there's that whole, so there's the thing that is the entire meme factor of these songs. Photograph by Nickelback is one. Like they're obsessed with that, where they're obsessed with sort of playing it and making fun of it. Careless Whisper by George Michael. Don't know why. But the part that I find the most amazing, and this is where you are going to get an audio gift. And I find this fascinating because of the age thing, the generation thing. Kind of the genre of country music for them is an ironic meme. So they play all these old country songs, ironically, but then they sing the crap out of them and they're loving it. And so, like, the one that my son will not stop singing that I have in my head all day, every day is...
Take me home
to the place.
Oh, my God.
I belong. I can't even stop. I can't stop.
It's so weird, too, because, I mean, this is a cheesy song, and that's part of it, right? Memes play on some stuff being cheesy. And this is, I mean, it's sincere, but it's old and cheesy.
Yeah.
But it also is like something we'd sing on family vacations when I was a kid, when the song was new.
Like, right? How did you, there's so many layers to it, right? Where did you find it?
Right.
Why this one? So they like Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh,
they
wow.
like lock them doors and turn the lights down low, and they love Country Roads Take Me Home. And I asked him, I was just like, what? Well, why do you like it? And he's like, well, it's funny. I'm like, yeah, but it's a good song. Yeah. It's a good song. I'm like, do you just, and then finally I got him to say, like, they like it because they think country music as a genre is funny. And then I was like, that's some city kid stuff right there.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's also, I mean, country music is self-consciously corny. Like it's unapologetically corny, I should say, not self-consciously.
Right.
It's like, yeah, no, we're down home, simple cornball music sometimes, and I ain't gonna apologize for it. And so that could translate to somebody going, because anything is funny, especially when you're a kid, when it's out of context, when you're not in the culture that created it, and you're like, what does this mean? Because you don't have any of the cues that brought it about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. But then here's my question. But where do they find it? I mean, all of that is super logical.
Yeah.
But how did they find it?
Yeah, where did it bubble up from? I mean, I guess it could sort of build on itself, right? Like, you find Take Me Home Country Roads and you're like, what else is there? Oh, my gosh, there's this, you know, Achy Breaky Heart. There's this take the locks and turn the lights down low. There are so many hilarious ones in here. Oh, my gosh. But where did the first one come from?
Right. I don't know.
Honestly, when I was in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, we were very much into old lounge music because of the same thing. We thought it was hilarious. Escavel, with its like weird experimental jazzy stuff using strange things as instruments, was just so out there.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That? I guess that kind of explains the Russian anthem thing.
Yeah.
But so I've been trying to find examples of how this is translating into the real world. I mean, I know that, you know, for example, I think it's Smash Mouth that sings that All-Star song.
Mm-hmm.
Smash Mouth is very aware that that song is a meme song, and they're frankly not that cool with it. And they don't seem very delighted to be included in this category.
This generation's Metallica moment?
Maybe it is, you know, a little bit where they're sort of just like, we don't think that our song is funny, and they're trying to say like, it's popular on its own. It stands alone. It doesn't need the Shrek movie. That's not why it's a big deal. And I'm like, I think you just need to own it. They need to own it and frankly go on tour. But I did find one example. The only example I could find was actually on billboard.com of the genesis of a meme song and then a real world example. And the song is Dreams by Fleetwood Mac from the Rumors album.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, because there were some tweets, like in March of this past year being 2018, because you might hear this next year, that's crazy, that said Fleetwood Mac's music is so boring you can't even dance to it. And then it is followed by the counter argument, quote, me, an intellectual. And then there's a 38-second clip of Alcorn State University's Golden Girls dance team dancing to the song Dreams. And then you will find this link, by the way, to this story and this tweet at our website. It's a thing.me. But then it got, because Twitter is so weird, the tweet with the dance team got 100,000 retweets and 300 likes. And then all of a sudden that song had a surge in downloads and showed up on the Billboard Hot Rock Songs chart.
That's amazing.
Yep. And I mean, this cannot be, I don't think the Russian anthem is maybe on the Billboard Hot Rock Song chart, but I have got to think that there are songs that appear way more popular than they are. Maybe like Country Roads, just because kids are. And then I wonder, do the artists know? I mean, I am really obsessed with this meme song thing. I have so many questions and I really want to know where it all goes and where it all ends.
Well, in our Discord, Boogamunk, would you, says, wasn't Take Me Home on the Fallout 76 trailer? Maybe that's where it got kicked off.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oh my God, you guys are so smart.
On the nose.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the Discord, by the way. I need that link. Anyway, that's my thing. That's the thing that I think is a thing and that I'm obsessed with, but it's not necessarily my thing. So if we want to take time for that and you have a thing that's not just Asian dramas, lay it on me. No, good. Okay.
No, I don't. I only had the one this time.
Me too. I pretty much only have the one and then I have a rant.
Because I spent all my time watching the Asian dramas.
Right. You only have that. No. Believe me, that was an awesome thing and we're good. It's basically like I don't want to monopolize the end of the show with my rant. If it's...
Well, let's do the email we got.
And let's then
we'll
do the email.
Then we'll do your rant.
Good idea.
We got an email from Paul, the web developer in Texas, who said, great pilot episode. I've been a fan since Buzz Out Loud. Yay. So it's great to see you back together. We think so too. I definitely agree that fizzy water is a thing, although I've been avoiding it for years and now have been caught by the trap. However, as physics teaches us, two things cannot occupy the same place at the same time. So, really important question for me that maybe your new show can address is, in addition to new things, what are the things that are no longer a thing? Do I need to give up my Snapple habit so I have room for the new fizzy water thing? Should I get rid of my dog's playing cards art for plant decorations? What's worse than missing a thing is doing a thing for too long. Thanks for any help.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, you do need to give up Snapple. Yes. Because that's just a sugar bomb that's going to kill you. So that's not good.
Well, and I'm, you know, Snapple's a bad example of what I'm about to say because you're right. it's too much sugar.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
But I think... you should never kill a thing, just put it on ice.
Yeah.
And I don't mean because Snapple over ice will get rid of the sugar. I mean, it'll come back around. So, yep. You know. I mean,
is that not what we just determined
exactly.
with the meme songs thing?
The meme songs
now
is a
these
perfect
songs
example.
Are reborn as YouTube compilations and back on the charts. No thing... is ever gone. You know what it is? It's what is it? Which law? Third law of
the conservation of things. Yes.
The one that said, right. The one
Newton's
that says
third
like,
law of things
can neither be created nor destroyed.
Right. They're just transferred from in to out and back again.
Exactly. Which leads me to our Twitter feed once again, where in 2009, we noted that watermelon and feta salads were a thing. And I think we can all agree that's a thing that like isn't as good as everyone thinks it is, but still hasn't gone away.
But it hasn't gone away. Mm-mm. I don't know if it was a successful thing, but
you still see it.
It didn't go away.
Why?
Yeah.
Gross. Ugh.
I want a mandarin orange in a salad sometimes. I want apple in a salad sometimes. Fruit in a salad does not bother me, but watermelon and feta.
Watermelon
just, I don't
feta.
Know why.
Can we just? That's a thing I'd like to kill. If we're gonna kill some stuff,
that's a zombie.
That's
thing.
Fine.
It just can't die.
The zombie thing. Oh my God. Okay, we just invented a segment. We didn't know things. That we did, but we did. And
as
it's
most
gonna be amazing.
Of our best segments happen
in future episodes when we have a segment sting. Like it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be scary. We need a scary one. The zombie noise.
Things.
Rich Stropolino. Sound effect coming.
On its way. Thank you, producer Rich.
In September of 2010, I predicted that French braids would make a comeback and become a thing. They did not. I was wrong about that.
Well, for now.
For now. For now. All right. I think that's all I got. I think that I'm thinged out.
What about your rant?
Really? Okay. Here's my rant. This is a little bit on my other beat, but I'm just going to speak to you as a consumer right now because I tried it once before, embracing the smart home, and it didn't go great. And I took a break. And then I was like, no, I really want that. I want to do the thing where I say, like, Alexa, turn on the lights, or turn, or good night, and have everything. So I went to the wire cutter and I bought their number one pick for smart plugs, and I installed them all. And I spent a fair bit of money on these plugs, four of them. And I set it all up, and I set the routine up, and I say, Alexa, good night. And all the living room lights and the TV turn off at once, and I feel like a freaking queen. And I just sweep out of the room regally, and it's fantastic. And it happens that way exactly one out of every 10 times.
We apologize to everyone in the dark right now who was listening to this out loud, and we just turned off all your lights.
Oh, yeah, really? Sorry. Dang it. It is a thing to figure out how to say schmurprankfront without, like, setting off your...
You could drop the A. Devices. That's one way to do it. Just say Alexa.
Oh,
nope, that turned mine on. Never mind.
Yeah, it doesn't. I know.
Damn.
It's the EX thing, which is why anytime anybody talks about sex on TV,
Amazon Voice Services. Echo goes off. Right,
anyway, yes, that. We'll bleep it in post. Anyway, those smart plugs don't work at all. They're terrible. Constantly are not detected. They get this not detected error, and they know, and so, like, half, sometimes one light will turn off or on, and the other two will not, and sometimes two will, and it's just always, it's like a little fun gamble to see which plug is not working at any given time. And then I went on Twitter and I did a search for, you know, Wemo not detected, and it turns out that this has been a thing with these freaking smart plugs since like 2000 and whatever, like a long time, pretty much ever since they came out. And so what I don't understand is, can I trust the wire cutter now?
Oh no. If I can't trust the wire cutter, I can't trust life.
I don't
life.
Know how to live.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how to live.
Here's
a
funny...
they were the number one pick and they don't work, and I'm not the only one. It's not just my weird magnetic field, which is a thing.
Which is a thing, if anybody doesn't.
They're busted.
I did not use the wire cutter to pick my smart electric adapters, and mine work great. I don't remember how I picked them. But it was random. I almost always use the wire cutter for everything. Wire cutter got me my awesome luggage my roll-on luggage that I love. Wire cutter has picked plungers and toilet cleaners and
everything.
And I don't think I've ever been disappointed. I've been like, oh, I don't know if this is really that great, but it's never been bad like that.
Yeah. I'm shook. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's a little bit like my security blanket, you know, up and disappeared. Like, it's just, if I feel like I can't believe them, because it did not take me more than a hot second to find out that this has been an ongoing customer service issue with these specific devices for years.
And the whole thing about the wire cutters is they do the intense testing.
Right.
Maybe they maybe they drank their own Kool-Aid too much, and they're like, we tested them and didn't find that.
I don't know.
But usually they take into account what people are saying in public too, I think.
I would have thought. I mean, maybe you didn't find this exact error thing. Anyway, I mean, probably I should just call them and ask them or whatever, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, okay, look, if this has gone this badly, now I don't know what to do.
I mean, okay. Stopped clock is right twice a day. The wire cutter can be wrong. They're not perfect. Maybe you just unluckily
stumbled on the one thing.
Stumbled into their mistake.
Maybe, but you can see the problem. I mean, you can see how seed of doubt has been planted.
No, it's
and that's
the recency the bias. We're all guilty of it. Don't pretend like you're above it out there. Everybody has it.
Yeah, everyone has it. Anyway, I think what it really comes down to is not so much these devices that I bought that I'm super disappointed but I really am disappointed. It's more the seed, the teeny tiny plant of doubt that is now.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's
blossoming like my
trade in the plugs, get other ones that work. Not, you know, whatever. That's not the point here.
No.
The point is
I'm shook.
I mean, Rich, our producer, points out that Wirecutter even tests the Kool-Aid they drink.
I know. Yeah. Yep. So
they're that comprehensive, people, if you don't know them.
No. I know. I mean, they are. They really are. And so I don't understand how this happened. But it's such a big category. I mean, part of the reason I'm also shook, and I don't mean to belabor this, but it's such. But smart home is such an emerging category. Like, this is the thing that we all want to do. And when they finally graduated to having these super easy plugs, and they just got a little button on them, and it's supposed to work perfectly, that feels like, if you're like not going to get egg beaters right, you know, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world.
Sure. If my toilet scrubber wasn't actually the best one, whatever.
Right. Right. But smart home is kind of a BFD. I know. I don't know what to do. So anyway, if anybody has any like smart plug recommendations that they think are really great, then I look forward to all the conflicting responses and having to research them like the old days and compare all the different reviews.
No.
This is actually how I felt when Vox announced that it was going to do a wire cutter competitor.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no. Because what if they conflict? Like, I do not need more. I just need the one.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe that there's more out there than one recommendation.
I use Etech City. They're a Chinese company. And in right here in my studio, I can say turn on studio and it turns on all my lights and things because I'm using those plugs. They also, I have them outside. They're in a covered case because they're not actually outdoor plugs, but the case is outside, is covered. They work great for my string of Edison lights.
Oh, nice. Yes. Mm-hmm. I got one of those super
remote control. You know why I didn't get Wemo? I'm looking at the picture now. The reason I didn't get Wemo is because it's oblong and I needed ones that would fit in that outdoor case.
Oh, nice. Well, get those. The oblong thing is a little tricky. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now I'm going to look at this one. Oh, I know somebody who got the light switches, actually, these Etech light switches, and loves them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably start having problems with them tonight, but I haven't really had any problems with them.
Yeah. All right, I'll check them out. They're about the same price. And then I have to start over and reconfigure my whole freaking smart home, which is annoying. And I love how I say smart home like it's a home. It's a room. It's a smart room. I just have a smart room.
I know. I felt the same way when we moved. I'm like, I got to reconfigure the two light bulbs I use.
Well, and then I still have an old smart light bulb in one of the lamps that I've just never bothered to take out because the light part still works. But so every time I turn it on, it flashes because it's like looking for its connection.
Oh, because you're just using it like a light bulb now. And yeah.
The smart home is not that far along, you guys.
It just wants to connect with its brethren.
So I have to go now and buy myself some Etech City things for Christmas. Oh, they have a smart scale. Look at that.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yep. I don't know anything about that.
And that is our show for 2018, everyone.
Yes. Thank you again. We've doubled our support since last week, which is amazing. A reminder that if you're a patron at patreon.com/itsathing, there are lots of benefits, including a commercial-free RSS feed, a feed with bonus content. And if you're at the level where you can nominate a topic or expecting a shout out, we will do those, we realize, after... you get charged at the first of the month because, you know, people change their pledges around and stuff. So, which is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. But so if you're like, hey, I'm at the shout out level, like Mike, for instance, you'll get the real shout out, like, you know, after the first of the month.
Yes, you will. And it will be great. And you will really appreciate your shout out. But yeah, we finally, we're new at this. We're at episode 2. I haven't figured out how to shut the dog up. Like, we're making progress, people. And please, by the way, we cannot do this without your thing.
Calm down. Everything's going to be fine, everyone.
That's right.
Just chill out. It'll make you happy.
I mean, how freaking great is that? Maybe that's why they like it, because they're stressed out because their little brains move so fast.
Maybe.
Email us your things. Thank you for everybody who has contacted us so far, including the guy who wanted to know when modern burlesque became a thing. We don't really know. Yeah, but
a while back.
Keep it coming. feedback@itsathing.me. And of course, you can find us on the Twitter @MollyWood and @AceDetect. I have to confess here, though, that I'm about to head out on the end of year vacation and I'm not going to be on Twitter very much.
That's fair. I'm going to be, but this is my last podcast of the year right here. So
me too.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for coming back to us.
Yay. It's so good
to
be
back. See you
in
2019.
Bye now.
Bye. Just beat a rhythm to the beat of life.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.